John chapter 9. Today we continue on our sermon series called I Am. I Am sermon series, where Jesus is answering the life's deepest longings. And there's this understanding here that we have all been created by God with these deep yearnings and these deep longings and these deep cravings. And we travel this path of life, hopefully with God showing us that He is the answer to the deepest longing and desire that you have in your life, for everything. He is the one that you search for. He is the one that has all the answers. He is the solution to every deep yearning and desire in your life. Last week, we looked at how Jesus made that claim that I am the bread of life. And Anthony referred to it this morning as we came around the communion table. Jesus is the bread of life. His body was given up for us so that we can be included in Christ. And how many of you know that we need the bread of life in our daily life every day for daily nourishment to get through, to keep moving forward? And so we were encouraged to spend time feeding on the bread of life daily so that you have the nourishment and the nutrition that you need in your spirit to be and live as the person that God has called you to live. And so today we look at another I Am statement of Jesus, where Jesus makes a profound claim where He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. To a world that is lost in darkness, your Savior, your King, offers Himself as the light of life. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read out the New Living Translation this morning. It says this: As Jesus was walking along, He saw a man who had been blind from birth. And He said, and the disciples asked Him, and they looked at Jesus and said, Rabbi, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins, or was it because of his parents' sins? And Jesus responds back and He says, look, it's not because of his sins. It's not because of his parents' sins. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. So the power of God could be seen in him. In verse 4, Jesus goes on. He says, we must quickly carry out the tasks that are assigned to us by the one who has sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I'm here in the world, I am the light of the world. And then He spit on the ground, and He made mud with saliva and spread the mud all over the man's blind man's eyes. And He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went, and he washed, and he came back, what? Seen. And the man washed, and he came back, seeing. Jesus is the light of the world. How many of you have ever woken up in the middle of the night and whether you had to go to the bathroom, whether you had to get a glass of water, you just woke up in the middle of the night and for whatever reason you just failed to turn on your nightlight or the light in your room? Anybody? And so you begin to walk through the darkness. It's the middle of the night and you're trying to walk through the darkness and you're like, you know what, I got this. I don't need my light. I know where everything's laid out in my room, except if you have kids. Man, last night I turned out Jonathan's light, and I forgot to turn the hallway light on to lead me back. And man, of course, you find the one toy that's sitting in the middle of the room, and you're just like, oh. But how many of you have done that, and you've walked through the darkness, and you're like, I've got this, and all of a sudden you miscalculate where the end of the bed is. Boom, and you smack your pinky toe right on it. Anybody else, right? It's in those moments that you forget that you know Jesus, very briefly, right? It's in those moments. Because that's a huge miscalculation, right? You need to know where the end of the bed is, and your toe is just writhing with pain. And so what would most of us do, and many of us in our bedrooms, we have lights on our nightstand, and so that you can just reach over when you have to get up, turn the light on. We need light to guide our path, right? We need the light to expose the safe path, the safe and the secure path to where we need to go. What we're looking for in that moment is for everything that is around us to be fully exposed. We're looking for everything to be around us to be revealed. The things that could easily cause us injury, things that could easily cause us harm, we need those things to be revealed to us. We need them to be exposed, so that we can take the right path. What we need in that moment when we turn on the light is for the light to illuminate our path. And here we have the story of Jesus. And he encounters a man who has been blind from birth. Literally, the man has never seen light. He's never seen, if you just close your eyes, I mean, yes, you can kind of see phases of the light, but you don't see form, you don't see images, you don't see things. It's black and it's dark. And in this scene, this man has a life-changing encounter with Jesus. More specifically, he has a life-changing encounter with the one who is light. And there's no indication that this man heard that Jesus was coming. We don't see in the story that he heard Jesus coming like in other places and with the other blind man in the Gospels. And he's like, Jesus, Jesus, come and heal me, come and heal me. This man was just kind of all by himself. And it says that Jesus saw him. Everything was dark in his world. Everything was pitch black and everything was hidden and concealed for his world. And God, Jesus, saw him. And then suddenly, within a moment, Jesus opens this man's eyes to see light for the very first time. And in that moment, everything that had once been concealed, everything that had once been hidden, was now exposed to the light. And so here we have this encounter with a person, Jesus Christ, who claims that he is the light of the world in this situation. All around him were his peers and his followers, and here is this man with a physical blindness, and he takes it as an opportunity to teach a spiritual truth once again, to take it a little bit deeper. And here's the lesson in it for all of us. You see, Jesus encounters this man who's been blind from birth. It reveals a condition that afflicts all of us, every single one of us in this room. There's a spiritual truth to this, and that is that each and every one of us is born spiritually blind. We're born spiritually blind. Scripture is very clear about this, that when we enter in this world, we enter into this world without the ability to see the will of God. We enter into this world without the ability to see the way of God. And like the man in this story, it is only through a personal encounter with Jesus Christ that clear vision is then granted to each of us. As the psalmist once said, Lord, it's only in your light that we're able to see light. It's only because your light shines that we're able to see anything that is true and real. It is only when you shine your light in my life that I'm able to see the path that you have mapped out for me. Great pastor and worship leader, and he wrote many songs, Pastor Jack Hayford once said, it is only in the light of Christ's person, his presence, and his power that we are able to perceive the fullness and the reality of God himself. It is only in the light of Christ's person and his presence and his power that we are able to perceive the fullness and the reality of God himself. There is no other way. There's no other way to know God. Why? Because he is the light of life. Makes that claim throughout Scripture many times that he is the light of life. And he is the only one who is able to illuminate the path that you and I are to take. The path that leads to everlasting life, the path that leads to the Father's heart, the path that leads to righteousness. Only if it's illuminated by the one who is light can we see. In John chapter 12, verses 44 through 46, Jesus is said to be shouting at the crowds at this time. And it's interesting that he's shouting at them because before he says what he's about to say, he's saying this to people who are really in this moment struggling to believe that he is the Messiah. They're struggling to believe all these I am claims that he's been making over the last few days. And he says to them in verse 44, as he's shouting to the crowd, look, if you trust me, you're trusting not only me, but also the God who sent me. For when you see me, you're seeing the one who sent me. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Let's talk about the dark for a second. Every single one of us in this room is familiar with darkness. We are acquainted with darkness. Many of us as children were afraid of the dark. I asked my son today, this morning, as I was just praying and we were getting ready for church, I said, John, what is it about the dark that you don't like? And he just looks at me and his eyes grow wide. What is it about the dark that you don't like? He says, because God, Dad, I can't see anything. I'm scared. I might get hurt. I might fall into the corner of the stair. We were in the living room and he was imagining that room dark. He says, I could fall into the corner of that stair and it could just hurt me and I could get hurt. I can't see. It's because I can't see, Dad. I need to be able to see. There's something within us that is drawn to needing light. We know that we need light. We crave the light. We desire the light. And it wasn't until all of us saw the light for the very first time that we actually realized that that is the deepest longing that we have. To be close to the light. For it to be ever present with us every step of the way. But the darkness that Jesus is referring to is the darkness that originates in our spirit. It's a spiritual blindness that prevents us from seeing the truth, that it prevents us from seeing the way in front of us. And it prevents us from being able to see the path that is in front of us. And so what happens is then we are left groping around in the darkness, feeling our way around. I mean, we've all been there, right? You wake up in the middle of the night and you're just doing this number. You know? Just very gingerly. And a few minutes ago, I was walking back there right before church started, and I ran right into the corner of this thing. The light's exposed and I ran into it, right? And we need the light to expose the things that are in front of us. It's essential. And now each one of us here can identify with darkness. Why? Because we used to live in darkness. We were children of darkness. We lived in darkness. We were okay with darkness. We actually preferred the darkness until we saw the light for the very first time. The Bible is very clear about this. At one point, we were all living in darkness. And we were familiar with it. We were acquainted with it. And although we no longer live in darkness, and although we are now children of the light, darkness surrounds us. Darkness is everywhere. All around us. And at times in life, it can even seem like darkness casts its shadow into our life. And it feels like it's coming in from all sides. And I don't know about you, but when it feels like darkness is just closing in on my life, the only illustration I have is like it's you're walking in a forest that is dark and these tall trees are just all around you and it's blocking out the light of the sun. And it just feels like it's all around you and it prevents the light from shining. And we know these occasions, these times when darkness feels like it surrounds you and it's just encompassing you like it's a cloud of oppression, depression, fear, anxiety, weariness, condemnation. These are components of the darkness that try to block the light. And there are times in our walk in life that it seems like darkness is closing in on us. We know it's all over the world. We know it's everywhere around us. We see this dark world. Jesus talks about that this is a dark world, but it seems like it's all coming in, closing in on me. It's like a cloud. And the purpose of that darkness closing in, there's purpose to it. And that purpose is so that it prevents you from seeing the will and the way of God for your life. That's what it's for. That's the enemy's purpose. It's to prevent you from being able to see clearly what God is doing in your life, wanting to do in your life, what he's mapped out for you, what he's prepared in advance for you. When the darkness closes in, its purpose is to prevent the light from shining. But there's good news this morning. And the truth this morning for all of us, and I hope you'll be encouraged by this, if the darkness seems like it's just coming all around you in your life, is that darkness does not have the power to overcome the light. Darkness has no authority. Darkness has no power to overcome the light. When Jesus entered into this world, when light of life came and entered into this world, it's His light that pierced through the darkness. It penetrated the darkness, split it away, and now darkness is powerless against the light that has come into this world. Powerless. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what darkness may be around surrounding your life. Maybe you don't have any darkness. I feel like it's closing in. But the good news this morning, and be encouraged, that darkness cannot hold back the light from shining. Darkness cannot hold back the light from shining. It has no power to overcome the light of Christ within you. Eventually, that light is going to burst forth. And it's going to penetrate once again. And it's going to dispel the darkness once again. Why? Because the light of the world lives and resides and inhabits your life. He's in here. The light of the world lives here. He breathes. He moves. We have our being because the light of the world has exposed light into our life. And in the moment the light was shined on in the spirit of our being, it became certain to us who we really are. That we, all the sin and all the unrighteousness is exposed in our life. And we see for the first time, wow, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I need this light in my life every day so I don't travel a path that is not right for me. I see the light's been turned on now, and man, I need to stay close to that light. I've got to stay close to that light. And all of a sudden, suddenly things become more clear when that light of Christ becomes bursting forth in you once again. You're given a renewed vision. As the goodness of God just sweeps away the darkness, the light shines in your life, you're given a renewed vision, a renewed sense of purpose. The path that God has illuminated for you is revealed for you. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of your life. Wherever Jesus is, there is light. Wherever Jesus is, there is light. I love when Jesus says here in this passage that we just read that while I'm still in this world, I am the light of this world. And I look forward to Revelation chapter 22 where it says that there will be no need in the new heaven and new earth for the sun. There's not going to be any need for the sun or for anything like that because Jesus is going to be the radiance that lights everything up. What that looks like, I don't know, but it's awesome. We don't need the sun because my Savior is the light of the world. He is the one that illuminates the path unto God. Jesus is the light of God that has come into this dark world to be your light personally. I want everyone here this morning to grab a hold of the fact that Jesus is the light of the world, but I want you to grab a hold of the fact that He is your light personally. He is the light that lights up the way to truth for you. You don't know the way to truth. I don't know the way to truth. It's only if Jesus Christ is lighting up my path, and I'm following in step with the light that I'm able to see and go down the path that leads to truth. He is the one that lights up the path that leads to everlasting life. I don't know how to get to God. I don't know how everlasting life. It's through Jesus Christ, who is the light. And if I keep my eyes locked on the light, then I trust that He is leading me in the way of truth and righteousness. I love in Psalm 56 where the psalmist, he talks about, in the Psalms, there's a lot about walking with the Lord in Psalms. And in Psalm 56, 13, the psalmist says, man, you delivered my soul from death. He says, you have kept my feet from falling, and now, God, I'm able to walk before you in the light of life. I love that, man. I love that. You have delivered my soul from death. My soul was encompassed by darkness. My life was surrounded by darkness. I was born spiritually blind. I couldn't see it. It was leading me to this place of death that is pitch black dark. And I kept falling and I stumbling. And God, you came down to this earth and you delivered my soul from that darkness. And you delivered my feet from stumbling ever again. And now, oh God, I am able to walk before you in the light of life. Your word is a lamp unto my feet now. It is a light unto my path. Light is critical for the guidance of your walk with Christ. I don't know that we use that terminology much anymore, but it's so important that this is a walk with Christ. You're walking side by side with Him. You're not in front of Him. You're not behind Him. This walk with Christ is saying, I'm getting caught up in what you're doing right now, and I need to learn to stay within your rhythm for life. What is the pace that you're walking with this light? I'm going to stay with you, God. We've gone camping as a family a few times, and if you've ever been camping, you know that there's those late-night trips to the bathroom that is like a mile away from your tent, right? And your kids are like, I got to go to the bathroom. It's like, all right. And so what do? You grab a flashlight. I was hoping to have a flashlight. I forgot it. And everything's pitch black around you. You just can't see anything. You just know that you have to walk a mile through the trees to find this bathroom. And so you put on your flashlight, and what do? You shine it right in front of your feet, right? And one thing I noticed is, it came to my attention, I was reminded about this when I was working through this, is the proximity of my children while I'm carrying the light, right? And think about that for a second. You're walking through here, and you're shining the light. The light's not going to the bathroom. The light's not way up ahead 200 yards. The light is in the next step in front of you. Right? It's so you can see the safety and the security of the next step. And the proximity of my children is they're not way up ahead running ahead. They're not way behind me back there. They're not going that way. They're not going that way. They are hip to hip with Daddy, and they are making sure that they are taking secure steps, safe steps in the light. A lot of times, and that's the way life is with us. God doesn't always shine the light way up ahead and say, I mean, there's a light that shines, and we can see it, and that's what we put our confidence and our hope in, that light. But the day-to-day living, it's like God is saying, here's the light for today. Stay with me today. Don't travel ahead. Don't travel that way. I know the secure footing. I know the path to take. You follow my light. Stay with me. Stay close to me. And I believe that is the word for all of us this morning. Stay close to the light. Remain close to the one who is the light of the world, the one who reveals all the things that are hidden, all the things that are concealed, all the things that are not exposed in the darkness. He is the light that exposes the things in our lives that are set up to trap us, to trip us, to fall, to lose our way, the things that could give us serious risk of injury. The light of your life is there for you. We all know too well how easy it is to fall prey to the snares that are cloaked in darkness, right? The things that are hidden in the darkness. All along this path of life that we take, there are traps set up for you to stumble, to fall. Paths divert so that you will follow that way and go far off course. But when you keep the light of Christ before you at all times, He will illuminate that safe, secure path that leads to eternal life. When Jesus is the light of your life, all the trappings and all the wrong paths are exposed. You're able to see the things that were once hidden in the dark. You're able now to see just how vile your sin really is. All now because it's been exposed in the light. You're able to see that which intended to cause you to stumble and fall, all because the light of your world, the light of life, is lighting up the path. Stay close to the light. Stay close to your Jesus. Because he is your guide that leads you to everlasting life. Amen? Liz, could I ask you to just invite you to come up with me? We're going to draw this morning to a close. And Pastor Phil, could I have you ready to read Psalm 23 as like a, again, as just like a seal over this morning? My question to you this morning is, are you walking in the light? Or are you walking in the dark? Are you walking close, step by step with Jesus, in his rhythm, in his pace? Do you find yourself jumping far ahead and it's dark up ahead? Or do you find yourself falling a little bit behind? It seems dark there too. Maybe you've diverted off a path. Maybe a false values or philosophies that have crept into your mind and your heart. What's your walk look like? How's your walk going? You see, to walk in the dark is to walk alone. It's to be by yourself. To walk in the dark is to grope around, stumbling to find the way. Without the light of Christ lighting up your path every day, without remaining close to him, you will get lost. Without the light of Christ lighting up the next step for you and guiding your path, you are going to make bad decisions. Without the light of Christ lighting up your path, you are going to stumble. You will get hurt, or you will hurt somebody else. That's the reality of the situation, because we were designed to be hip and hip with the one who is light. But when you walk in the light, your life goes to rest. When you're walking in the light, you know you're walking in the light because your life goes to rest. There's this overwhelming peace and assurance that God is walking with you, and he's guiding you, and that he's leading you. To walk in the light is to trust that God is illuminating a divine path for you. When you walk in the light, you have total confidence in his plan. And your body and your spirit and your mind and your heart goes to rest. For once you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. This is Ephesians 5. So now that you're light of the Lord, live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. As although we're now children of the light, we still live in a dark, dark world. Darkness is all around us. We all have loved ones right now who are in the dark, groping around, trying to find their way, and they're stumbling, and they're falling, and they're making one horrible decision after the next, and it's all because Jesus is not lighting up the path that he has for them. We, as we leave here this morning, I urge you to walk as children of the light. Children who have seen the light and remain close to the source of that light. Do not try to charge ahead. Do not fall behind. Do not go off to the left or to the right. Stay hip and hip with Jesus. You see, our task now that we are children of the light is to help others see the light of Christ. That's our role in this. That you are somebody who the spiritual light has been turned on in your life, and he is your life, and he leads you and guides you. And now the Lord says, now I want you to go and be a guide for people and point them to me. Point them to the one who is the light of their life. You are surrounded by people who are lost. You are surrounded by people who are stumbling. But it is so important to know this, that nobody is too far off the path for God to rescue. And I just want to close with this. As Pastor Phil, I'm going to ask you to read Psalm 23, and I'll hand it off to you and Anthony to close it up this morning. God needs his children. He needs his children who are not afraid of the dark. He needs his children who are willing to stand among the darkness and reflect the light of life.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.